It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a quick mention here that there are so many questions surrounding COVID-19, and our Wisconsin project is collecting questions. Submit yours about COVID-19. We'll do our best to answer it. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're checking in on the status of testing for the coronavirus in Wisconsin. Governor Evers' plans for reopening the economy partially depend on the state seeing a 14-day decline in the ratio of positive tests. And a Republican-backed plan supported by business groups would also monitor how often COVID-19 tests come back positive. So what questions do you have about testing? Have you asked your healthcare provider about getting a test? What was their response? How long did it take for you to get results back? We're at 800-642-1234. Alan Bateman is the Assistant Director of Communicable Diseases at the State Hygiene Lab. Alan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
All right. So lots of numbers, but the state health department says our daily testing capacity is about 11,000 samples right now. How much of that capacity falls on your shoulders under the hygiene lab?
Sure. So I guess to take a step back, there's about 50 labs in the state now that can do testing. And we really have It's been wonderful to see additional labs come online, and we've worked with a lot of the different clinical labs around the state to be able to increase this statewide capacity. Here at Wisconsin State Lab, we have ramped up our response and our testing 7 days a week, and our estimated capacity is 500 per day. On a given day, we might get less than that or more than that. It really depends on what specimens come in and what outbreaks we're responding to.
I think Governor Evers has a goal of 12,000 tests a day. Is that conceivable? Is that something that our state can do?
I do believe it is possible. We've been in very close contact with the clinical labs, and we've surveyed them for what their expected capacity is on a given day. Obviously, there are many things that go into that. Reagents are a very limiting factor, and we need the actual specimens to come in. We can only test as many that come in. But using those estimates from each of the labs that are up and running right now is where that number of around 11,000 comes from. So it is still an estimate, and every lab estimates things slightly differently, but that's each lab's best guess at this point for what they could conceivably handle in a day as a maximum.
When we last talked with you in mid-March, there were shortages on reagents. It was hard for you to gauge the supply line on getting the things that you need to do these tests, these chemicals. Are you still seeing shortages in the supply chain?
Yes, that's a good question. And yes, we still are seeing supply chain issues with some of the reagents. These include the swabs and the media, the liquid that the swab goes into to then be transported to a lab, as well as the testing reagents themselves. There are many different companies now that have COVID PCR tests, which are the diagnostic tests. And it's fantastic to have that many additional companies' tests out there. It's definitely not just the CDC's test anymore that's available. But depending on the company, depending on the time, there are still pretty significant limitations in reagents and supplies.
Does that hold back the number of tests that can be processed?
It depends. Right now, it's kind of spotty around the state. There are certain labs that have multiple different manufacturers' tests in their lab to be able to continue testing, even if there's a back order in one or more of those reagents. Other labs may or may not have that ability at this point. And depending on which company's instruments they have in their lab, they may be more hamstrung by reagents. So across the state, it's kind of spotty whether or not there are major reagent limitations or not in any given lab.
What about the expense of these reagents and other supplies needing to carry out these tests? Have you seen changes in the costs of these products?
We haven't seen major changes from any other normal cost of an influenza PCR test or a test for another type of pathogen. It's been pretty consistent across the board overall, which has been really good to see.
How much does the COVID-19 PCR test cost right now?
Yeah, that's a good question and hard to answer directly. The supplies and reagents themselves vary by company, and often many of the tests that we're running need many different ingredients into there, which can be different costs. And then that's just the reagents and supply side. There's also all of the manpower time and the personnel time to enter all the information in, to actually do the test and do the resulting and whatnot. So it's really hard to put even a rough estimate on that because it varies by lab.
When you look at the human power time for your lab, the state hygiene lab, and look at testing capacity, how do you see yourself scaling up or not?
So we already have been able to scale up to a certain degree, and we are within our capacity right now. And we are continuing to cross-train people to be able to step in to test as well. And we're also considering additional manufacturing lines, as you would, for testing to be able to have more throughput if needed.
How does the cross-training work, and especially since you're not able to be side-by-side with someone in that cross-training, does it take longer?
The cross-training, thankfully, we already have a decent number of well-trained microbiologists that do testing across many different types of pathogens. So training them to do this specific COVID PCR test doesn't take nearly as long as hiring someone new and getting them up to speed with all of their training. So that's been really nice. In terms of working closely with each other, we do have a PPE policy to limit the possibility of the virus going from one employee to another.
And the PPE, the personal protection equipment, the masks, the gloves, the other supplies that you need to stay safe there. We're talking with Alan Bateman from the State Hygiene Lab. He's the lab's assistant director of communicable diseases. What questions do you have about coronavirus testing here in Wisconsin? What do you want to know? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Ellen, you know, we've been throwing out this terminology you have about PCR testing. This is diagnostic testing. And if I understand this correctly, it detects the virus's genetic material. Can you help us better understand what a PCR test is?
Sure. And yes, you're right. The PCR test does detect the virus itself. It targets a particular small section of the virus's genome. And with those specific reagents, it amplifies that part to be able to detect it. There's a cycling in heat between very hot and not as hot that goes back and forth that allows the reagents to take one strand of genome and multiply it into millions of copies over an hour or two. And that's how we're able to detect such low levels by this PCR test. And one nice thing about the PCR test is that it's very sensitive. If the virus is there, it's very sensitive in picking it up. It's the gold standard test at this point for diagnostics.
Gold standard because then you have a lot more assurance in this test that, you know, positive tests don't come back negative, negative don't come back positive.
Exactly. Yes. PCR tests are both very sensitive and specific to make sure that they're as accurate as possible. There are many different steps in an entire test process, including the specimen collection and if that's a good specimen, and then that transportation to a lab. But if the virus is there and the specimen was collected correctly, a PCR test is our best test at identifying it.
How long do the steps take from, and I know that, you know, it could take perhaps over a day to actually get that specimen into your lab, but how long does it take to process a test?
And that really depends on the test itself. There are some that are rapid, sort of point of care, they're called, and those are 15 minutes to an hour. You can have one test result, but that's one test result. And we're doing batches of many, 50 or 100 at a time. And those, the very, very fastest is potentially 3 to 4 hours. And that's if you have low numbers of specimens. There are a couple major steps along the way, including all that data entry to get all the patient information and the specimen information form into our system. So depending on the number of specimens we have, if a specimen comes in first thing in the morning, we could have results out that same day. Otherwise, next day, and our stated, it's called turnaround time from when the specimen gets to our lab until it is resulted, is 24 to 48 hours. And that's a very standard turnaround time for this type of testing.
Let's take a call now. Jim is joining us from Freedom this morning. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I saw an article on the internet the other day said that in New York they tested to see if people had antibodies in their system to fight off the coronavirus, and it showed in New York alone 14% of the people randomly tested showed they already had antibodies in them. And I wonder if Wisconsin's doing the same thing, because if that's the case in New York, that means 1.4 million people in New York have already had it. And then a week later, I read they did the same thing. It was 20%. So that means 2 million people. And yet in the news, we keep hearing that only we just got a million people showed positive. Well, if this is correct in New York and it's similar things happening all over the country, we're talking 20, 30 million already people in our country probably already had it. Actually, more like 60 million.
Jim, thank you. Short on time here, but PCR tests different from antibody tests, Alan.
Yes, the PCR test identifies the virus itself, whereas the antibody test, the serology test, identified the immune response to the virus. That immune response is identifiable more like a week or two after symptom onset, as opposed to right away like PCR tests are. And yes, there have been many studies, both in the U.S. and globally, to get a sense of how many people have detectable antibodies. And the New York numbers are the highest that I've seen, the 14 to 20%, potentially a little bit higher than that. A lot of the other ones that are coming back are somewhere between 2% and 4% of people tested that have detectable antibodies. And I'll also add that having detectable antibodies, it's not currently known if that provides protection against infection or how long that protection might last. That's all still being investigated, and over time we'll learn a lot more about that.
We have Alan Bateman with us, the Assistant Director of Communicable Diseases at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. We're looking at the testing situation here in our state, which has 50 active testing labs. What questions do you have about testing for COVID-19? Are you confused about the difference between the PCR test that detects the virus's genetic material versus the antibody test that we've been talking about? And now there's this antigen test. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Alan Bateman right here on the Ideas Network. We're getting updates on the status of coronavirus testing here in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the past few weeks, testing for antibodies has been in the news, as Jim and Freedom had talked about. Antibodies are proteins that help fight off infections, and doctors are studying whether antibodies from recovered coronavirus patients can help others battling the disease. And the research has led to more interest in antibody testing. So what do you want to know about it? What questions do you have about antibodies and how doctors are using them? Have you tested positive for the coronavirus or antibodies? What has your experience been like? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Alan Bateman from the State Hygiene Lab stays with us. So, Alan, as we were talking there, how much testing for the coronavirus antibodies is happening here in Wisconsin?
The antibody tests for coronavirus are up and coming. The real focus early on, and still for the diagnostic testing, is the PCR. So that was the real focus for bringing up capacity initially. There are quite a few different hospital systems and labs that are looking into or starting to think about testing for antibodies in Wisconsin. And there are also some of the national reference labs that you can send out outside of the state to get antibody testing currently.
How is testing for antibodies different from testing for the virus for the PCR test, the diagnostic?
It's some of the same companies that are involved, okay. But the instrumentation is definitely different, and the throughput, the amount of specimens that can be tested, depending on the instrument, can be quite high for the antibodies, which that is a really good thing to know. But there are many different instruments out there that identify total antibodies against the virus or specific classes of the antibodies, IgG or IgM. So there are many different approaches being taken.
We've also heard, and not to get the waters more murky here, but there's antigen testing out there that looks at the proteins that stud the outer surface of the virus. What do we know there?
Yes, so that's another approach. For influenza, there have been antigen tests for a long time. And I know it does get confusing, antibodies versus antigen. The antigens, as you mentioned, identify proteins of the virus. So it's also identifying the virus itself. We have found over the years with influenza antigen tests that they're not as sensitive as the PCR, and that's why the PCR is the standard diagnostic go-to at this point. The antigen tests have yet to be fully developed and evaluated yet, but if they are equivalently sensitive, they could add additional help to this testing.
Let's take another call now. Lisa is with us from Madison this morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I understand you're a nurse.
I am.
What can you tell us?
My question is, I was tested on March 18th. I had symptoms, and at that time, the state lab was requiring us to answer three questions to find out what tier you were in. And I think I was in the second tier because I was a healthcare worker with symptoms, but I had no fever. So my test was taken, sent to the state lab, and then I got information back that my test sample was simply frozen. And I'm curious if that's ever going to be run. And my concern was, as a healthcare worker, I was working and exposing hundreds of people, and the state lab never ran my test.
Thanks very much for your question. Yeah, March, that week in March was quite busy for us, and we were one of the only labs that was doing testing at that point. So we needed to set in that prioritization and have the tiers 1, 2, and 3. And for the second tiers, some of them got tested, but not all of them. And that was what we had to put in at that point because the numbers of specimens coming in were more than we could handle at that week.
How many specimens are left in the freezer now?
That's a good question. I would have to get back to you on that.
Is Lisa alone here? Did you, during that time in March, when there weren't that many, just a handful of labs doing the work you do, was that the best thing that you could do at that point, is just to freeze those specimens and then be able to get back to them at a later date?
So one of the things we have offered for those specimens is to have them sent back to the sending lab for testing there, or sending somewhere else to another lab that could handle it. Nationwide, the testing capacity is much better now. The national reference labs can handle a lot more compared to what they could back in mid-March as well. So we are overall in a much, much better position statewide and nationwide for PCR testing now.
You wouldn't characterize PCR testing to be in a backlog situation in Wisconsin right now?
Currently, we don't have a backlog for the specimens coming in right now, and we haven't heard of a ton of backlogs across the state, but it depends on the lab and on what availability of reagents they have in that particular system.
Lisa, may I ask, how are you feeling today?
If I was positive, I'm fully recovered now, so I feel fine, but again, for tracing purposes, you know, I'm curious what happens to that frozen sample and will it ever be run, because it could be tied to many other people that at that time, they were not tested. They were just told that they were presumed positive. So just again, to make sure that the numbers are more accurate, it'd be nice to run some of those samples.
Yeah, I agree. We want the most accurate numbers possible, both the positives and negatives, and particularly the deaths. There are definitely some advantages and disadvantages, or ability to fully capture all of the data. And we and our partners at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services are doing our best to capture all the data possible. We do realize that there can be weaknesses in every state and country's numbers.
Lisa, were fellow nurses on your floor in a similar situation where they received that information about having their sample frozen?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling in and for the work you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Stay safe, everyone.
You too. Ellen, when the outbreak first came to Wisconsin, health authorities strictly limited who could be tested. We just heard about this tier system, 1, 2, 3. Who can be tested now?
Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, early on, the number of the people who could be tested had to be prioritized because of the extreme limitation on capacity. And now it has broadened quite a bit. We still have, within the public health lab testing, us at the state lab as well as the Milwaukee City lab, we have public health prioritization testing, and that is for people at highest risk. And those tiers have overgone some change over time to become more broadened. outside of the public health lab testing, the message has been to test quite broadly, and anyone with any clinician that has a suspicion should be testing. That's been a message that has been put out there for quite a few weeks now by our public health colleagues at the Department of Health Services, and we're seeing a little bit of an uptick, but for a while there, clinically, if someone wasn't super sick, they were told to stay home and that a test wasn't possible. And now that the approach is more, those people should be tested also for the public health reasons, even if there is no immediate clinical change that's going to happen based on the test result, to be able to identify as many positives as possible to then follow up, do the contract tracing and whatnot after that.
In the last moments we have with you, you know, everyone in the state capitol, lawmakers, everyone's relying on your data and your numbers and plans for how to reopen the economy based on what we're seeing in testing. How reliable is that measure as an indicator of infection rates?
Could you restate that a little bit? Which measure exactly?
Well, how reliable, you know, in terms of the metrics that we're using to be able to judge whether we should reopen our economy, how much do we have to really rely on the outcome of testing and the percentages of people being tested? How critical is that data?
I think it's an important piece of the data. It's by no means everything. I would liken it to an individual patient who comes in with any type of infection. The lab result is one aspect of that, and it needs to be taken into account with all of the clinical information, potentially epidemiologic information about that patient as well. So similarly, at the statewide level, I think the information from testing and the percent positive for PCR, as well as potentially antibody testing in the future, should all be taken together along with many other aspects in terms of deciding.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Alan Bateman is Assistant Director of the Communicable Diseases Division at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. Just ahead, we discuss a new survey that found widespread food insecurity and homelessness among student athletes. Are you a student athlete or a parent of one? We hope to hear from you next hour here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.